From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jennifer Ludden. It's been another deadly weekend in Iraq. A car bomb shook Baghdad late tonight, killing 7 people. Earlier, 9 Iraqi policemen were killed in an ambush, and 6 U.S. soldiers have been killed since Friday, including 2 whose helicopters crashed. U.S. forces, meanwhile, stepped up attacks against insurgents in Fallujah. Peace talks there broke down last week. Tomorrow, the British House of Commons will consider an American request to redeploy some British troops from the south closer to Baghdad. The U.S. wants them to relieve American forces needed for operations in Fallujah. Over the past 18 months, when we've wanted an update on the news from Iraq, we've often called Rajiv Chandrasekaran of The Washington Post. He's just left his position as the paper's Baghdad bureau chief and today published an article reflecting on his time there. It's called Iraq's Barbed Realities: How the U.S. Got Caught in a Trap of Its Own Making. Rajiv Chandrasekaran joins me now in the studio. Welcome.
Pleasure to see you face to face.
In your piece today, you write about your relationship with the senior tribal sheikh in Fallujah, Sheikh Khamis Hasnawi. Tell us about him.
He was a man who really sort of believed in a new Iraq. He'd been on the take before. He'd been given money by Saddam's government. He had lived a very comfortable life. He had a very large sort of tribal network supporting him. But he realized, and you know, you could say perhaps opportunistically, but also I believe because he honestly felt that way, that a democratic government in Iraq was the best thing for its future. And he believed in trying to reach out to the Americans to make that happen.
Now, the reason he stuck out for you is because it was so hard, you write, to find people like that. That one of your first trips to Fallujah, your translator's going through person after person, and he's telling you, these guys are all lying. Is there a lot of cultural barriers, and is it difficult to believe a lot of what you as a reporter hear from Iraq, and we hear as readers of the media?
Certainly, you know, when you take a microphone or a TV camera or a notebook and open it up in front of somebody, you'll often get a lot of canned rhetoric. But there are other voices out there. And it's very difficult when you're walking down the main street in a place like Fallujah to get them. People feel cowed by the climate there. And it's only once you get off the beaten track and you find people who actually have some stature. The reason Sheikh Khamis could speak so openly is because as a senior tribal sheikh, he was protected by his network of tribesmen. And even the foreign fighters, even people from Abu Musab Zarqawi's network, really wouldn't dare to go after him because they would then unleash a ferocious sort of tribal response.
But getting out and getting to people who can talk during the time you were there has become increasingly difficult because of security. You write, my folding roadmap, dog-eared from repeated excursions last year, had grown dusty on my bookshelf. We must be missing so much of what's happening.
Indeed. I mean, that is my chief frustration in these past couple of months. You know, as a foreign correspondent, what we go out and do is we try to go and see things with our own eyes. And the deteriorating security situation here over the past several months has left me largely confined to my hotel room. And my last conversation, as I wrote with Sheikh Khamis, was by telephone. It was thoroughly unsatisfactory, but it was impossible for me to drive to Fallujah, and it was too unsafe for him to try to come out and see me in Baghdad.
You devote much of your article today to cataloging missed opportunities and mistakes by the U.S. occupation authorities. With the benefit of hindsight now, what do you think was the greatest failure?
I really believe it was a failure to listen to the Iraqis early on, and what Iraqi politicians were saying was a host of things. They were saying, accelerate the reconstruction, put people to work, don't rely on these overly ambitious ideas of creating a full-fledged free market economy and privatizing all the businesses. Just simply pay people some money to clean up the streets. Give more authority to Iraqi politicians. This idea of occupation, I've spoken to a couple of very senior Iraqi political leaders who I really trust and respect on my way out of the country. And they said the biggest mistake of the occupation was the occupation itself, that what the Americans should have done was empowered Iraqi political leaders, but been there to support them, but not make it seem like they were the ones running the country. It really was I think, just that key failure to kind of listen to the people who knew their country the best, people who wanted to work with the Americans, wanted to make a successful democratic nation out of Iraq, but that we were sort of too blind and a little too deaf at times as we went into this.
Rajiv Chandrasekaran has just finished an 18-month stint as Baghdad bureau chief for The Washington Post. Thank you for this and for all the times you've spoken with us over the past 18 months.
It's been a pleasure.